1 Timothy chapter 2, 2 verses 5 and 6. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. What are you here for tonight? What are you doing here? Worship the Lord. If you're here without the Lord, I think you've come looking for something. If somehow we can show Him to you, our job is done, then the rest falls on you. I know people say they have a lot of reasons, but even if the reasons and the intentions is wrong, God can turn it around for right reasons before you leave to help you better see the Lord. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men. What's the phrase? The man, Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. I'm going to preach tonight on the man. I don't think that's a disrespectful title. I think sometimes we forget that Jesus was a man. In fact, that's what separates us from most religions in the world. God became man. He is the man. What kind of man is He? So fascinated were they by this man that they could say to one another, "Behold, never a man spake like this man spake." They could say things like, "Behold, what manner of man." They couldn't get over the fact that a man had that much ability. But the reason the man had that much ability was he was God manifest in the flesh. God became man for us. Why did He come? Why would God choose to send His Son, His Son become a man? I'm going to give you 3 points and I'll be done tonight. But those 3 points are enough preaching. More preaching than my old body can stand. He became a man. He is the man. He came a man to relate to us. The Old Testament writer referred to the one that was to redeem as a kinsman. That kin is an old mountain term, isn't it? Have y'all got any kinfolk? If you don't think you got any kinfolk, just come into a little bit of money. They'll turn up. You have kin you didn't know that you had then. I sometimes am staggered by the thought that here we were in the likeness of God, man. In the image of God, the likeness of God, and man sinned. And when man sinned, man could no longer go to where God was. So God said, "This is what I do. I'll become a relative to you. I'll relate to you. I'll have relationship with you. I'll become a man." And He became a man so that when we're faced by anything, we can always say, "He understands. He relates to everything that we go through." From the age 12 to age 30, we know very little about this man's life. But we know the authority that this man had. See, it's not only enough to say, "Thank God I'm saved," but to be able to say, "I have a Savior that is touched by my infirmities. And I have a Savior that can relate to everything that I'm going through in life." To have a Savior that relates to us is what makes the difference. Because becoming a man, He was tempted in all points like we're tempted, yet without sin. Not one thing that you'll ever go through that Jesus doesn't understand. A lot of folks in this auditorium tonight, they've gone through a lot of different problems and a lot of different trials. But do you know what's made the difference in their life over others that have gone through that same thing? The man. Because He's able to relate to them. He understands what nobody else understands. A lot of people say when you're in trouble and you have problems, the best thing you can do is get a few miles out of town and find somebody that doesn't know anything about you. And when that person that doesn't know anything about you, they can give you the best advice ever. But I'm here to tell you, there's nobody understands like somebody that's gone through or been through what you're going through. Nobody's able to comfort you quite like the person that has been exactly where you've been. There's people here tonight that can testify to the fact that the man relates to what we're going through. Bird is in this sanctuary tonight, really in the building, I should say. She's battled cancer so much now, her body's so weak, she has such a low immune system that she's really not even supposed to be around people. And she's here tonight, you can't see her, but she can hear what's going on. And Bert, I can see you, but more important, the Lord can see you. And no matter what pain you're going through, the Lord can say, I relate to that because I know what it is to be weak in body and not know if you're going to be able to take another step. That's the man that we serve. Rowena's battled breathing problems and continues to battle that. But he knows what that's like, Rowena, for on the cross, suffocation was the main means of death on the cross. And he couldn't take in the breath, and he'd push himself up with his feet. And every time you struggle with that breathing problem, all you got to do is look at the man. And the man can say, I know exactly what you're going through. Oh, I feel God tonight. I'm saying that there's not a thing that we go through but what he cannot relate to it. You may be like Tom and Mindy Martin and wonder how you're going to have that finances coming in to sell that home or keep that business going. But I just remind you, Tom and Mindy, he said the foxes have holes and the birds have nests, yet the Son of Man hath not a place to lay his head. I don't always understand, but Tom, the man, understands, and he'll take care of you. I know sometimes we go through that valley of loneliness and feel as though we're not going to be able to make it all by ourselves. Sherry, I know that you felt forsaken at times, and I can't stand here and say I know what that feels like, but I want to tell you, the man, he understands, and he was forsaken by those closest to him, and he said, I know what you've gone through, and the man is touched by our infirmities. Oh, heaven, you may feel like everybody's forsaken you, and nobody else understands what you've gone through, but the man, the Lord Jesus Christ, he knows what you've gone through. Lord, I know that death has come, and your best friend is in the presence of God. And I know those lonely hours of the night that you wake up and reach over, and you can't find him there. But you understand this, every time you wake up, the man's already awake. And he says, don't worry, he's safe in my arms. I'm saying that he came to relate to us. There's not a pain in our body. There's not a thing we'll struggle with that the man doesn't already understand. Oh, Brian, every time you stick yourself, you can say the man understands what I'm going through. Every time you battle a broken heart, the man can say, I relate to what you've gone through. And this man called Jesus is the one that understands. He is the man that is touched by our infirmities, and he cares about us. He came to relate to us. Oh, glory. Not only did he come to relate to us, he died to redeem us. This same man, John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. For 3.5 years, this man preached the message of atonement and salvation. It was the man Jesus that would take on the scribes and Pharisees and leave them perplexed with their own questions. This man Jesus was the one that had said, you don't understand why I've come and the purpose of my coming.
He not only came to relate to us, but the man came to die to redeem us. There was a purpose in His coming. Not only to be able to say, while you're living, I know what you're going through, but He can say to you, while you're dying, I've come to redeem you. Not with a price, paid in full by His own precious blood. They took the man, the Lord Jesus, after that they had sold Him at the hands of a traitor, bought Him to take Him away to false judgments, falsely accused Him, could not find the witnesses against Him. They took the man, the Lord Jesus, led Him up Calvary's hill, struggling beneath the weight of the cross, after that they had beaten His back until it looked like a plowed field. They took Him to the top of Golgotha, stretched Him out, hands across the cross beams, crossed His feet, drove the nails in His hands and His feet. And that same man, Jesus, as He hung there that day, He knew He could not die yet. He had a job to do. He was paying for the sin of all humanity because He died to redeem us. Glory. He lived. He came to relate to us. He died to redeem us. Hey, you do whatever you want to. I'm not going to leave the message of the blood. I know what He paid to save my soul. I know why I'm on my way to heaven. I don't know why you came tonight, but I came to praise the one that redeemed my soul, because without Him, I could not be saved. He was dying. And as He died, the sun turned black, hid its face from the Savior of the world. Why? He was redeeming man. The earth began to tremble, and the graves opened, and the dead walked back into the city of God. Why? He was dying to redeem man. They placed Him in a tomb. They say, we ended His work early. The devil thought He had won the victory. But on that third and glorious morning, hallelujah, the first Easter morning, they hear a rumble in the bowels of the earth like they had never heard before. Jesus had come knocking at the gates of hell and said, devil, I'll take the keys to death and to hell. He says to death, I thought you had Him. Death said, He pulled the sting out. He said to the grave, I thought you'd hold Him. And He said, I could not hold Him down. He had no power than what I had. He said to the stone, I thought you'd stop Him from coming out. And the stone said, there was a power greater than me that rolled back. Why? Because He died to redeem us. He passed into the throne room of God, presented the blood, came back and hung around for 40 days. Only the Lord would have done that. We'd have been in such a hurry to get to heaven, we would have said, we're never going back there. Well, how do you know He went to heaven? I had some smart aleck say to me one time, Bible doesn't say He went to heaven. Oh, but it does. He met with them there in the morning time. He said, touch me not. Why? For I have not yet ascended. I have not yet presented the blood. He was the only high priest that ever went into that temple without an animal. Hallelujah! The only one that could die for the sin of the world. Then after He presented the blood that stays there as the offering for our sin, He was both priest and sacrifice. He hung around for 40 days. They stood there on the top of a mountain. And suddenly they saw Him call a cloud. And He stepped out on that cloud and said, glory please. And that cloud moved into the heavens. And the angel said, you men of Galilee,
loose. You see, taken up from you shall come again in like manner. Oh, he ascended back into heaven. Can you imagine what it was like on the other side? The angels started singing. Why? Because think about this. They'd never seen a man in heaven. He was the first man to go to heaven. They'd seen cherubims. They'd seen seraphims. They'd seen archangels. They'd seen Lucifer. They'd seen the devil. They'd seen the fallen angels. But they'd never seen a man in heaven. Why could no other man go to heaven? Because no other man could go to glory until the man with glory in him was there. And he said, I paid the price, and the blood sacrifice is sure. And there he laid down the blood that you and I might be saved. Redeemed us. Bothers me just a little bit. 28 years of preaching. When I started preaching 28 years ago, you only had to preach about 15 minutes. And all you had to do is hit the blood. They took her from there. They shouted and they carried on. Some of you have been saved so long now, you don't need a blessing, do you? See, what's wrong with us? Heaven doesn't mean anything anymore because we're too busy trying to have it here on earth. We're trying to bring heaven to earth. But you understand, the doctor with all the medicine that they have and all of the things that life can give you, our government with all the security they've got, your bank account with all the trust you have in that, none of that will do you any good when it comes time to die. The only thing that matters then is that you have accepted the shed blood of Jesus, and the blood of Jesus has taken away all your sin. That's all that will matter. Oh, Lord. He came to relate to us. He died to redeem us. But He lives to represent us. He ever lived to make intercession for you. I would, children, that you sin not. But if you sin, you have an advocate. Somebody tell me what the word advocate means. What kind of intercessor? We have a modern word that means the same thing. Do you know that? What's they doing? Attorney, a lawyer. What's a lawyer do? I mean, if Dave just represented himself, he wouldn't have a business. Because he'd just pay himself and spend his own money, and he'd be done. All lawyers make their livelihood from representing others in one way or another. He represents us. Here's the strange thing. I just jotted down two or three things I noticed about people that need a lawyer. Don't you worry, you're going to need one. If you don't have one, you're going to need one. When you retain a lawyer, the defendant in the case is then represented by their lawyer. When they call the defendant's name, what's the attorney do? Stand up. Why do you stand up? Because the attorney is saying to the judge, anything you've got to say to him or her, say to me. Because now their name is my name. I represent their interest. So when anything happens that their name is called out to stand before the judge, the representative stands up as well.
Now we read in the Old Testament where the high priest never sat down when they offered the sacrifice. Never did. They would stand continually offering the blood, putting it on the mercy seat. Seven coats in opposite directions. It would take some 3 to 4 hours of time. That's exactly what the high priest was doing on the day that Jesus died. Jesus could not have died scripturally until the time had come for the high priest to declare it is finished. And when the high priest began to cry aloud, it is finished, there was another cry from the cross. And the Lord said, it is finished. And the veil of the temple was rent from top to bottom. The veil of the temple was the span, the width of a man's hand. It was interwoven and took 600 Levites, history says, to put it into place. So they took something as thick as my hand from top to bottom that light could not pass in and no one could see from the inside out. And suddenly it was rent from top to bottom, that place that only the high priest could go. Do you know why Jesus allowed that to happen? To tell you there's nothing so strong in your life that heaven can't tear it down, but it has to be torn down from top to bottom. It'll never glory to God. It'll never work from earth to heaven. It has to come from heaven to earth. The other thing is, he was telling us he can go where nobody else can go and do what nobody else can do. He is the man. And the Bible says that after that he had presented the blood, he went back and was set down on the right hand of the Father. Is that Bible or not? You say, where are you going with this, preacher? Think about it. Stephen has been accused of preaching Jesus. He was a deacon. A deacon that preached about Jesus. And they decide to stone him. So they gather them around and the stones start flying. Stephen falls to the ground. He's now down on his knees as they hurl the stones to take his life. But suddenly out of nowhere, the heavens are open. Remember, Jesus has gone back and sat down on the right hand of the Father. But suddenly Stephen said, I see Jesus. What was he doing? Standing on the right hand of the Father. You haven't got this yet, have you? The old devil can accuse you and accuse you and accuse you and accuse you. But after so long, he'll come into the very throne room of God and try to judge you. But suddenly, Jesus stands up as our attorney in glory. And he says, you're talking about them, therefore you talk to me. And he stands up to represent us. And when the devil says you're guilty of this sin and that sin, Jesus can stand and say, what sin are you talking about? I've washed it all away by my own precious blood. Their sin is gone because he's the only one that has the power to take your sin away. When we need an attorney, he stands up for us. We talked about that book of life this morning. The names that weren't written there. But what about the names that are written there? When the judge calls our name, it's written there. Jesus stands up for us. The judge says acquitted. Can't try them twice for the same crime. Acquitted. They're free. Am I the only one in here feeling God tonight? I mean, aren't any of you happy that you're saved? Isn't there anybody here glad you're going to heaven? Can you imagine when they call your name in the portals of glory and Jesus ends up for you? Who are we that the King of glory should stand up in our defense? But Jesus said, I'll represent you. I'm living to represent you. That's why when you pray and the devil seems to have his foot on your neck, don't you worry. Before all hope is gone, I'll stand on my feet and I'll say enough is enough. And I'll stop the enemy because he's the one that represents us. He's the one that has the power to do it. Why do we wallow and cry around about things that don't matter? We come to church and complain that our washing machine is broke down and we've got a flat tire. What you ought to be doing is saying, bless the Lord. Oh, my soul, my sins are gone. They're covered by the blood of the precious Lamb. He came to relate to me. He died to redeem me. He lives to represent me. Only Jesus can do that for us. Oh, bless you. It's holy name. Hallelujah. 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 Boy, I'm sick for God here tonight. I'm feeling the power of God right now. I'm about to get plugged into Heaven's 220. Oh, glory. Glory, glory, glory. I didn't come to church to kill an hour and a half. I come to worship God. He's done for me what nobody else can do for me. He's taken care of me when I'm sick. He's fed me when I'm hungry. He's put the roof over my head. He's saved my soul. He's saved my family. He's given us the hope of heaven. He's built a wonderful church for us to come and worship in. God's given us great friends. God continues to pull. Would you help me preach tonight? Oh, if God's been good to you, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You stand up and tell Him how good that He's been to you. You tell Him, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. You're the only one to do what's been done for me. Nobody else but the man Jesus can do that. Glory, glory, glory. Something wrong with y'all's legs? Aren't you saved? Huh? Who saved you? Did you come to church to talk? You come to church to praise Jesus. Jump up and praise Him. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I don't understand how you go to ball games and act like a convention and yell and scream and holler around and come to church. Somebody as big as God, get down inside your soul, lift your burdens away, and you just sit there as though nothing's happened. I'm going to tell you, you've got every right to praise God tonight and thank Him for what He's done. Hallelujah. Well, praise Him. Praise Him. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. What Jesus do for you? Saved you? You sure about that? When did He save you? Huh? I don't need the day. What happened when He saved you? Did you pray and ask Him to come into your heart? How'd you feel when Jesus saved you? Can't explain it. Glory, glory, glory. You're a preacher. I don't care if you've had surgery. You've got a right to save your family. Glory, 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 glory! Shout it out. It'll kill you if you don't get it out. If you're looking for a dead church and a dead preacher, you've come to the wrong church. We want God's power to come and revival to come. And the only way it's going to come is when we start praising Jesus and thanking Him for taking our sins.
been a way. He's the only one that can save us, that can keep us, that can heal us, that can guide us. He's the only one.
Oh, but Brother Evans, I'm just not emotional. I got a Greek word for that, baloney. Your husband could make the wrong turn on a trip. Go 30 miles away. Don't tell me you're not emotional. You let him make the wrong call Friday night and see how some of you act. I am preaching tonight. We've got people in this church that should have been in the grave years ago, but God spared their life. We've got young people that God has brought them together, established homes, give them good homes and good families. Folks, I'm telling you, if a church ever has a right to praise God, it's Rubyville Community Church. And as long as we keep Jesus high and lifted up, He'll take care of the rest. Why, it is Jesus. It is Jesus. How's it feel back there, Bob? Oh, it's feeling good up here. Oh, I might have to help you come hold me up and run a while. It's Jesus. Glory, 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 glory. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I'm trying to quit. I don't want to quit. No. It's not I want to preach it longer. I just want to soak it in. Oh, the road's been long and it's been hard. But Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Sweetest name I know. Fills my ever longing. Keep me singing as I go. Oh, glory, glory. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Go ahead and praise Him. You got a right to. Year ago, I didn't know if I'd ever be able to preach again or not. I haven't talked a lot about it, but my wife knows. I thought I was headed to heaven. I wasn't afraid and I was fighting, and I'd say if God left me. But I did say this, and I hope you don't think I'm arrogant when I said this. When I prayed, I said, Lord, if you want me to go, I'll go. I'm ready to go. But if you keep me here, please, Lord, let me preach. And every now and then I'll run across some of you that you worry about the silliest things. Your young'uns get little old love spats and you fight around about it and talk about it like it's the biggest thing going on. Meddle around a bunch of business that don't matter. Let me give you some advice if you're a parent. Stay out of your kid's stuff. Little kid fights, it'll take care of itself. You can't worship over that kind of stuff. We've gone for two or three months now. We haven't had any meeting, really, business to take care of in our board meeting. We've had some. But I'm telling you, we've wasted our time, really, fellas. We have. Wednesday night, we all not waste time like that. We don't have no business. Let's not make none up. Let's just start praying and praising God. You know what I'm talking about. You say, preacher, life's been good for you and life's been easy for you. Hadn't been easy for any of us. We've all had our share of troubles and heartaches and pain. But I'm telling you tonight, I'm here tonight and standing because of the man. And if there's anything that I want to do tonight, I want Jesus to know that I love Him. And I thank Him for what He's done for this old boy. And He doesn't love me any more than He loves you. But I'm praying that I'll pastor a church of people that have fallen in love with the man and say, there's never been a man like Jesus. There's never been anyone that's done for me what Jesus has done for me. Oh, He's the man. He's the man. He's the man. Your babies don't have to be healthy. Your grandkids don't have to love you. You hear what I'm saying? Your kids don't have to speak to you. Trust me, there's many a family I deal with that it doesn't happen. But instead, we have the privilege of seeing Russ come with his family today and kneel on an altar beside of them. I'm glad you're here, brother, and I'm glad what God did for your family. But it's the man that did it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Holy Ghost, fall on us. Give us what we need tonight. He came to relate to us. He died to redeem us. And He lives to represent us. You have a case that you can't solve. Why don't you turn it over to Jesus? Let Him do His job. Let Him take care of it. Let Him stand up for you. Your heads are bowed for one moment.